Welcome to the North Central Baptist Church podcast. We hope you're challenged by the message from our pastor.
Okay, I want you to take your Bibles and open them to the book of Proverbs, chapter 3. And if you need a guide for our Bible study tonight, I want you to look, I want you to raise your hand. And they will bring one to you. If you would like one of the guides tonight for our lesson, then I want you to raise your hand and you can get one right there. Well, I tell you, I'm excited about those children singing tonight. What a treasure that is. And I love to see them following the service too and give them a little treat. That's one of my blessings, is getting to see these kids every Sunday night. They have special worship pages that they are learning how to take notes and stay involved in the sermon. So now I want to review. We've been looking at the book of Proverbs together, and we have been trying to gain wisdom from Proverbs. What a tremendous book of the Bible, written by Solomon primarily. If you keep your hand up, they'll bring you one. Okay, wonderful, thank you. And so we have had several lessons here that we have looked at, different truths that we've gathered, but just quickly to review, the bold statements there were kind of the titles of some Bible studies we had. The first one, we just want to talk about wisdom. All that you desire cannot compare to wisdom. That to get wisdom from God is the key to life. And so we reviewed that. It begins with fearing the Lord. We're actually going to look at that verse again tonight. It begins with fearing the Lord, to recognize God's character. What does it mean to fear the Lord, to recognize God's character and respond by revering, trusting, worshiping, obeying, and serving Him? And then we had a lesson called Solomon's Search. It was his search for what was going to make him happy. And most of life is spent trying to find what we think will deliver the ultimate in life. Some people, they think it's money, they think it's relationships, they think it's power, they think it's prestige, all these different things. And if we're not careful, we're like Solomon. Solomon did that. He had all of that. As a matter of fact, he came to a point in his life, he had so many resources that he could have anything his eye could see. And yet he said it was all vanity, empty, and chasing the wind. And it's neat. We did that lesson over at the BCM. We looked at that passage at the BCM. And then, of course, last time we were at the BCM, Will Frazier came and shared a message, Why I Walked Away from All That He Had on Wall Street. And there's a lot, probably a lot more he could have told us about his story. And one day he just looked in the mirror and realized, I'm not who I want to be. And he started remembering the things that he learned. One of the things that I love about working with young people and children is Will reinforced to me that when you have young people in church and children in church, they are getting it. Y'all hear me? They are getting it. Now, we got to get them here, but they're getting it. And they're getting it on Sunday morning. They're getting it on Sunday night. They get it on Wednesday night in Awana. And praise God for that, because Will said, I looked in the mirror. Here he was in Wall Street and making all kinds of money and involved in all of that lifestyle that he said was not good. And he looked in the mirror and started remembering some things he learned as a child. And he said, I got to get out of this. So it really goes into Solomon's search there. His final message was to remember thy Creator in the days of thy youth. Then we looked at one on listening to wisdom. And anyone who distracts you is not a friend from listening to God's word. Spiritual ears hear spiritual wisdom. And then we talked about the dangers of anger. The word anger in the book of Proverbs means his nose became hot. You ever get to talking to somebody and you can tell they're getting angry? And all of a sudden, their face turns red. I'm sure, I'm kind of fair complexion. When I get all wound up, I'm sure you could ask Kelly. She could tell you. Anyway, no, I'm sorry. But anyway, the point is, it means their nose became hot. But anger is foolishness, the scripture says. If we are angry at people and circumstances, we're basically saying, God, why did you allow this to happen to me? This person is annoying me. And God, you dealt me a bad hand. You're the one that did this. So here's one thing we learn about anger. When we become angry at people and circumstances, we're ultimately angry at God, because God is superintending things in our life. And so we want to realize that people and circumstances are not our problem. Satan is our enemy. Satan is our enemy, not other people. And so anger never accomplishes it. Tonight, I just want to share with you a personal truth that I take from Proverbs that has helped me probably as much. This truth and the truth from Psalm 1. Do you know Psalm 1? Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by rivers of water that bringeth forth its fruit in its season. His leaf also shall not wither. And then this is it. And whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. That truth is probably number one. This truth tonight is number 1.1. It's really the same truth. But I dug into it in Psalm 1, and it has impacted my life. And this truth tonight, I call it wisdom's incredible promise. Let me ask you a question. You have decisions to make, really every day. And I have decisions to make. I remember as we had our children, thinking about making decisions that would impact their life, Kelly and I would pray, and we said, Lord, help us to make the right decisions. But how do you know that you're making the right decisions? Many times it's not real crystal clear, black and white. You have to make a call for their life. And the Lord gave me this promise, and I believe he gives it to you. He gives it to all that will follow his word. And it can set you at ease that God is in control and that he will bless the direction of your life. So, wisdom's incredible promise. The first thing I want you to look at, I want you to go back to Proverbs chapter 1, and I want you to look at verse 7. Here's the first point. Number one, the wise are in awe of God. The wise are in awe of God. The scripture says in chapter 1, verse 7, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. The word fear, the blank there is the word reverence. I just want you to write that in. The word reverence. In other words, to revere God, to be in awe of God is the beginning of wisdom. In other words, if you have no desire to be in awe of God, then you're not going to listen to his ways. You're not going to obey his word. You're not going to be interested in what he says about life. But it begins, I believe that this is foundational to all of Proverbs. It's in the first chapter. It's the 7th verse there. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And then look what it says, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. The word fools in the book of Proverbs means to be perverse, or it means to be rash. You could make a little line there. I've got notes all in this little thing I'm teaching from tonight. Little notes in your Bible. The word fool means to be careless. It means to be rash. It's the opposite of prudent. Someone who is not fearful of the Lord is not a cautious person, a prudent person. The word prudent also could be described as cautious or someone having discretion. And so when you think about the promise that we're going to get to, the wisdom's incredible promise, I think it begins by being in awe of God. I have a quote from Julian Huxley. He was a humanist who died in, 1975. He was born in London. He was trained at Balliol College in Oxford. That is, I think, Richard Dawkins, the great, they would call him the great atheist, humanist, was trained at Balliol College. I have been to and seen Balliol College, and the library there is amazing. And he was evidently a philosopher there, but he was a humanist. This is a quote from Julian Huxley. He says this: someone who believes that man, here's what a humanist is to him. This is how he described what a humanist is. Someone who believes that man is just as much a natural phenomenon as an animal or a plant. That his body, mind, and soul were not supernaturally created, but are the products of evolution. And that he is not under the control or guidance of any supernatural being or beings. But he has to rely on himself and his own powers. That's what a humanist is. Someone who believes that for my life, the only answer is myself. I have no one outside of myself to help me. And Proverbs describes that as someone who is not prudent or cautious, someone who obviously is not in awe of God. So let me say this. The greatest wisdom's greatest promise does not work. It goes, it's like it's it doesn't have the effect if we don't fear God. We're not in awe of God. So I would begin with that. The wise are in awe of God. Okay? Number two, the wise hold precious the truth of the Bible. Now, if you go over to chapter 3, and we're going to get to 5 and 6, because that's where I'm headed. But if you look at Proverbs chapter 3, verse 1, it says, My son, do not forget my law, but let your heart keep my commands. For length of days and long life and peace they will add to you. Let not mercy and truth forsake you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. And so find favor and high esteem in the sight of God and man. And then we get to verse 5, which we're going to get to in just a moment. The wise hold precious the truth of God's word. Notice it says there, my son, do not forget. So it involves our memory. The first blank, letter A, is your memory. You don't forget it. You don't want to forget it. You want to hide it in your heart, okay? And so it involves your memory. Letter B, it involves your affection. I remember a book years ago, and I taught this book to young people, and I used the title. I don't remember the author's name, but it was, the title of the book was A Man and His Loves. A Man and His Loves. In other words, what are the affections of a man? Who does he love? What does he love? And so when you think about holding precious the truth of the Bible, it involves your memory. You hold the scripture in your memory. That would lend us to memorizing God's word, hiding God's word in our heart that we might not sin against God. And then the second thing is the affection. It says, do not forget my law, but let your heart, verse 2, okay? That's where I get that idea of your affection. But let your heart keep my commands. What is it that you love? There's another place in the scripture, it talks about thy law will be the apple of your eye. The apple of your eye is your pupil. In the Bible, when it says the apple of your eye, it's talking about your pupil. Now, outside of people that wear contacts, that can touch their eyeball. I don't wear contacts. If you started your finger right here, and I'm not going to let Abby do this to me right here because I don't want to get my eye poked. But if she took her finger and started towards my eye and said, "Pastor Calvin, keep your eye open now. I'm just going to touch your eyeball." That ain't going to happen. Okay, I'm going to close my eyes. I'm going to turn my eye away. Now, some of y'all that wear contacts, y'all can go, you know, I know how I've seen y'all do that. I marvel at how y'all can do that. You say, "Hold on just a second, I've got my contact down in here somewhere," you know, and you fish it out. Now, that you break all the rules. But the truth is, we are to hold on to God's word and guard it like we would guard our pupil. Our pupil is so precious. And here's the thing, that's, you know, you think about it like your affection. What is it that you love? You guard it in that way. So it says, we're going to hold precious the truth of the Bible. He says, don't forget it. Verse 1, chapter 3, verse 1, don't forget my law. Chapter 3, verse 1, but let your heart, that's your affection. And then it says, let your heart keep my commands. And so the third one is your lifestyle. In other words, the word keep means to live it out. What does John 14, 21 says? He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him. So we hold precious the truth of the Bible in chapter 3, verses 1 through 4. It involves our memory. It involves our affection. It involves our lifestyle. And then, I didn't know a better word to use in letter D, so I went ahead and used it. There may be a better one to use, but I said, see a payoff. What is the payoff? Look at this. When you do that, when you don't forget the law, when your heart is affectionate to the Bible and you keep it in a lifestyle, what do you have as a payoff or to look forward to? Length of days and long life and peace. I learned this studying scripture. The word peace in the Bible is such an amazing word. Some of the scholars refer to it as a pregnant word. It is loaded. It is loaded with truth. And peace is what mankind searches for. But it says here, and peace they will add to you. When we live that way, that's what we can expect. Let not mercy, verse 3, it says, let not mercy and truth forsake you. Bind them about your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. And so find favor and high esteem in the sight of God and man. Number 3, and we'll be done with this one in just a moment. So we may, hey, who knows, we may get out of here early tonight. I'm not promising that, okay? All right, number 3. The wise have the greatest promise. And it says this, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. It says, letter A there, to trust. It means total reliance. Now, only God knows whether you are really relying on God's word, on him. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart. But you know what the Bible says? There's another verse I love. 2 Chronicles 16:9 says this, the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the earth, that he may strongly support those whose heart is perfect towards him. Doesn't mean perfect like that's a perfect heart. It means that their heart is inclined towards him. And so, trust means a total reliance. It means to cling to. That's the blank there in letter A. Number 3A, trust, total reliance, to cling to. Now, the illustration I've used for years on this, it just comes back to my mind, is the idea of a pit bull. I don't know anything about pit bulls and Rottweilers and German Shepherds and other guard dogs like that. But I have been told that pit bulls are different And maybe there's that whole, maybe Rottweilers do this too, but most dogs, when they bite you, they bite you, and then they bite you and they let go. But I've been told that pit bulls, they bite and they don't let go. They can lock down on what they're biting. Am I right on that? Is anybody? Okay, good. I was waiting on Stanley to help me there a little bit. But no, I had a friend who had hogs out on this land, and he said, "Oh, Calvin, man, you got to come. You got to come see this." I never did it. He said, "You got to come see this." He said, "We have hogs out here, and there's a guy that'll come, and he will come and bring a big trailer, and he wants to capture them alive because he wants to take them out to another place and let people hunt them." I'm like, man, people really like doing this, don't they? You know, he said, yeah. He said, "You got to come." They come in the middle of the night, and man, it sounds like they're roaring out there, and man, there's just noise, barking and everything. And then about 4 o'clock, 4:30 in the morning, he'll come knock on the door, and you'll open the door, and man, he looks like he's been in the mud, like he's been in a fight, and he'll look at you and go, "You want to come see him?" And you'll go out there, "Y'all okay?" And we'll go out there, and there'll be this snorting hog in this big cage and everything. And I said, "Well, how does he do that?" He said, "Well, he sends those pit bulls out there, and they go out there, and they grab them by the ears, and they pin them down to the ground, is how they do it." He said, "A pit bull, they cling like that, and they don't let go." So I started thinking about that. You know, there are times in our lives, and I've had these specific times in our lives, and in our marriage, and in my own personal life, where that's all I had was just to cling to God's word. And I say, "Lord, I don't understand why I'm in the circumstance I'm in. I don't understand why this is happening, but all I know is you are my God. And all I know is that when I was a 17-year-old kid, you saved me and changed my life. And you love me. Your word says you love me. You said I'm your child. I've been adopted into your family. This does not look good. But I'm holding on to you like a pit bull." It's like when my kids were little and I'd go off to work in the morning, and Kelly was so sweet to encourage the kids to love their dad. And man, when the kids were little, we had a wood floor. They'd come hold on to my leg, "Daddy." And I'd say, "Well, I got to go." And they say, "Can you stay longer?" They were holding on. And sometimes we just have to do that. We don't understand the circumstances we're in, but we have to hold on. And so that's what I understand it to mean, to trust in God. Even when it doesn't look good, you trust in the Lord. Total reliance, you cling to it like a pit bull. And then it says, "And lean not on your own understanding." Presidents and kings would do this. What they would do, he's telling us, don't rely on your own self, but you need to rely on God. Now, the other day, and please don't, I'm not here to talk about politics. Aren't you glad? Okay? But I did notice, and I've noticed this. Tell me if you notice this. Every time a congressman or someone makes a speech, they put flags behind them. Have you noticed that? And then, whoever it is, if they're making an important thing, they line up people around them. Have you noticed that? They don't ever get up there all by themselves and go, "Well, we think we want to do this." No, they get up and they say, "This is what we're going to do." And I noticed the other day on something that the president was doing, that the president was up there, he had the presidential flag, which is a beautiful flag, by the way. He's got the United States flag in the proper places, and then he had the vice president right here, and then he had Mike Pompeo. Now, don't be mad with me, but I'm impressed with that guy. I understand that guy's a believer, loves Jesus, but anyway, that's a whole other deal. But they had him stand, it was something to do with the Middle East and some announcement he was making, and here was the president right here, and he had the vice president here, and he had Mike Pompeo, the Secretary of State, had all the flags back there, and he said, "This is what our plan is for the United States," and da-da-da-da, and he made these things. Well, he puts those people up there to show he's not all alone. God is telling us, don't be like a king that just gets up there and makes proclamations with nobody you're leaning on. Lean not on your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge him, is what he's saying. Who do you want standing up next to you as someone living your life? You want to have God standing there with you. You want to let him be in your corner. You want him doing that. And so it says, lean not on your own understanding. Don't be like a president or a king that would not have anybody up there, but be like the ones that do, that have, you know, it shows power. And so we see in the passage here, it says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him. In all your ways, and some translations say, make Christ known. Get the word out about Jesus in all your ways, wherever you go. But here's the truth that has helped me. And he shall direct thy paths. Who's he? God. I don't know how many times that I have taken Kelly by the hand and say, honey, we've got to make a decision. And I would say, we got to make sure we're right with Jesus. We got to make sure we're doing what we think we understand God's word says to do. We've got to be in awe of God. He's our Savior. He's our God. And then we're going to make a decision and say, Lord, we're leaving it up to you. Because here's the truth. I'm not God. I don't know all the answers, right? And you don't either. And so eventually you cry out to God and you say, Lord, I want to live this way. I want to trust you with all of my heart. I want to lean not on my own understanding. I want to acknowledge you in all my ways. And then I am trusting you to direct my path. And what that means is to make smooth the way, or to make straight the paths. The old preachers used to say that God could take a crooked stick and hit a straight lick. If there's ever been anybody that was a crooked stick, it was me in my own life. And yet God, in his promise, can take a crooked stick and hit a straight lick. That is what God can do, and only God can do it. Now, in Psalm 1, it says that when we trust in God and we delight in his word, delight in his law, we meditate on it day and night, we'll be like a tree planted by waters that bringeth forth its fruit in its season, its leaf shall not wither. And then it says, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. What that's saying, and whatsoever that person does, he shall cause it to prosper. So that, here's what that tells me. God knows your heart. And if your heart, it's like 2 Chronicles, for the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the earth, that he may strongly support those whose heart is perfect towards him. I'm convinced most of my life it's the Lord saying, oh, there goes Carr again. He really is trying to do right, but he's about to make the wrong call. Hey, Gabriel, get up a crowd, go down there and fix it. And so I'm going headlong in the wrong direction, trying to do right, and the Lord puts up a barrier. He's really trying to get me over here, and I get that barrier, and I can't go where I thought I was supposed to go. And so I turn this way, and I go this way, and he puts up another, but eventually I end up over here. Because, and whatsoever he doeth, he shall cause it to prosper. I'm not smart enough to get where I'm supposed to go. But God gives me the greatest promise ever. If I will trust in him, and if I will lean not to my own wisdom, and I will say, Lord, with all my heart, I want to do what you want me to do, then I can have the assurance that the paths will be smooth. Now, can I say this? It's not always easy. Can I get an amen on that? And I amen it too. But I can tell you this, the longer I've lived, I've looked back. You know, they used to say hindsight's 20/20. I always wondered what that meant, and now I'm a little bit older, and I know exactly what it means. How in the world did this old boy from Jacksonville end up with Kelly Carr? Only God. How in the world did God bless me to be the pastor here? Only God. Now, I thought Mike Weldon was a smart man, the chairman of that committee. He called me up, and Allison was on that committee, and others maybe in here. Paul Waters was on that committee. And I thought, boy, you know, man, hey, listen. God works behind the scenes in the life of his children to make an eternal, significant difference in our lives and the lives of those we love and in the ministry that God has given us. And can I tell you this? If I did not believe this, I do not know how I could sleep at night. Now, I'm being honest with you, because there's been many nights that I've gone to sleep wondering, did I make the right decision? But I have to trust that God is going to fix it. He's going to cause the best. When, now it's conditional. It's conditional upon us doing verses 1-4 with all of our heart. Can I tell you this? I've seen the Lord do the best that's what's so amazing about the grace of God. He's so patient. Sometimes he maneuvers things even when there's seeds of doubt in our heart. But the scripture says that if we will trust in him with all of our heart and lean not on our own understanding, in all your ways acknowledge him, he will direct your paths. This was demonstrated to me in a simple story. I went back to my home church after being at North Central for 4 years, and I was doing youth work there, and we were in a church camp, and a guy named Bill Swain, some of y'all may remember Bill Swain, a guy named Bill Swain was teaching young people, and we had the 9th through the 12th grade boys in a group. We get those boys in one of those hot rooms at Lake Yale. They had no air conditioning back in those days. They had a ceiling fan in that thing, you know, some kind of an attic fan. Those things don't work. But anyway, and it was hot in there, and he was up there, and he was preaching away at these guys, and they had the youngest guys on the front row. And he had a $5 bill, and he had a Bible. Well, man, a $5 bill, the guy had a Bible. He was standing, sitting there with a Bible. But a $5 bill, we had a little snack shack. And the stuff was cheap because, you know, we had bought it and everything. We kept the price down. Anyway, you get Cokes for a quarter and stuff. Anyway, so he said, young man, he said, what's your name? And he looked up and told him his name. I mean, he was his first year in camp. He had just come to camp. He was fixing to be in the 9th grade. And he looked up at him and he told him his name. He said, I want to ask you something right now. And there's about 100 young men in that room. He said, I ask you something right now. Do you want this $5 bill or do you want this Bible? It's your choice. Well, all of his older buddies in the cabin were saying, man, take the five. Take the five. You've got a Bible. Your mom and dad just got you a Bible. He said, take the five. Take the five. And man, you could tell there was a war going on in that guy's life. But I think he kind of knew what Bill wanted him to do. And so he said, I'll take the Bible. And so Bill said, well, all right. He folded up the five, handed the Bible. And he went on and taught his whole lesson. He said, guys, let me tell you something. When you trust God, everything you really want in this life, everything you need in this life, you're going to have. You put your faith in Jesus Christ, young men. And man, I get teared up thinking about it. Those guys, man, they were sitting there and he was bringing it. I mean, bringing it on the Lordship of Christ in his life. And he said, guys, we've got to go to the next class. We need to have prayer. Oh, by the way, hey, buddy, look in that Bible. And he looked in that Bible and a $5 bill was in that Bible. And he said, before you leave, I just want you to know something, fellas. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. Don't ever forget that. And folks, I really believe that the truths of Matthew 6:33, the truths of Psalm 1, the truths of Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 are the greatest truths and promises from God's word. If we will trust in him, somehow he will make our paths smooth. It may be tough, but you'll look back and see the hand of God moving in your life. Let's go to the Lord in prayer.
Thanks for letting this small part of North Central Baptist Church experience stream into your life. We hope you will visit us soon and become part of the family of North Central Baptist Church, reflecting Christ's light on Gainesville and the world.